Porch Light Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchLightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I am Andrew, and we are your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. We talk about what we call the top three: Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, Focus on the Family Radio Theater, and anything else that we find that fits that criteria and we think you'll be interested in. This is episode 51. Well, we've got some great things lined up for you in this episode. We're going to get some answers to your questions about the Odyssey Adventure Club. We're going to reveal the winners of our big giveaway from episode 50. And we're going to check out some of your feedback. And I think we may even have a newscast there, Roy.
Yep, a newscast.
All right.
Let's go. As you may know, the Adventures in Odyssey team has released more information about Album 58, and they've even included the first episode in a recent installment of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Recent podcast episode has also included informative interviews with Paul McCusker and actor Phil Proctor, the voice of Detective Pullhouse. Album 58, The Ties That Bind, is slated to begin airing on the radio in early September 2014. Lifehouse Theater on the Air has given us the unfortunate news that their audio drama production efforts are on indefinite hiatus. They are going to focus on their stage performances for the foreseeable future. We'll be sure to let you know when and if there are any changes. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
All right, thank you, Roy. That was fantastic.
Fantabulousness of a newscast there, Roy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, today, as we stated, we've got everything you need to know about the Odyssey Adventure Club. We're joined by Bob Smithauser. Bob is the co-host, one of the co-hosts of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. I'm sure you're aware of that. And the recently appointed producer of the OAC. Bob, it is great to talk with you today.
Hey, JD, Andrew, Roy, thanks for having me on the program. This is awesome.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Well, we wanted to get started by asking a few questions just about your experiences with Odyssey in general, more of as a consumer rather than an employee of Focus.
Sure.
So first of all, when did you first hear about Odyssey, and what were your first impressions of the show?
Well, it's interesting. I started working with Focus on the Family in the summer of 1991. So they started, of course, in 1987. And that was probably my first real introduction. I was familiar with Focus, but mainly through the daily broadcast and some of the different publications they were putting out. I didn't really know, because at the time I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, and didn't have kids who were into it, so it took me a little longer to discover it than kids today. I think there are a lot of, with the history of the program now, it's much more popular and visible. So for me, it was really until I got on staff with Focus and then discovered this other world that was taking off, and it was exciting. One of the guys I worked with back in those days was Mark Drury, and of course you know his name, as one of the directors and producers of Odyssey. And because of my friendship with Mark, that was actually how I started getting a chance to do the odd voice every once in a while when they needed somebody to come in and do a small part. So that's kind of how I got started with it. And then it wasn't until a number of years later that the podcasting came along, and my relationship with the folks there turned into what became a working relationship, ongoing. So 7.5 years now with the podcast.
Very cool.
So how were you tasked with hosting the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast?
Funny thing, I was asked to come down and audition. I guess there were a number of people. Your fans who've been listening since the beginning may notice that I didn't really show up. I think it was episode 6 before I actually appeared on there. There were some other folks working with Jesse, and I guess what they wanted to do was try and find somebody that had just the right chemistry, and so they were inviting a number of people down to the studio to to read, just reading the script and so on, and they chose me. So I don't think at the time I had any idea how long things were going to go or how popular it was going to be. I think we're nearing, if my latest statistics are accurate, 90,000 listeners on any given episode of the Official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. So yeah, back in those days, we didn't know what it was going to do, but we knew we were part of something special because Odyssey at that point had quite the fan base, but we didn't know what podcasting was really. And the fact that it's taken off the way it has, it's just been great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Can you share some behind the scenes info on your all's podcast? Who writes them? What's the typical workflow when you and Jesse step into the studio to record an episode?
Sure. Well, we owe most of the credit to Nathan Hubler because Nathan is the one who will bring to us the content. He knows, he's the one who kind of maps it out. Of course, the way it's scripted, it sounds like Jesse and I kind of, we've got it all planned out. We're the honchos behind the whole thing. But I really do need to give credit where credit is due. And all the organization of that goes to Nathan Hubler. And the fans know that he is sort of an encyclopedic, walking encyclopedia of Odyssey knowledge. And in addition to being a great guy and also, a great writer and director. I mean, he will go into the studio and direct episodes. And so he is a testimony to the fact that he started as a fan just like the rest of us, And because of his knowledge and his skill, has really made himself a central part of what Odyssey has become. So having said that, I think beyond that, Jesse and I, we go in there and we'll have questions frequently when we do interviews. We'll have the questions and we'll try to divvy them up and get an idea of who's asking what. I'll give you a little inside scoop. You can usually tell when things have been cut out because more often than not, we would stagger it. So he'll ask a question, I'd ask a question, and back and forth, unless there's a follow-up that we might chime in with. But most of the time, we do it back and forth. Well, if you listen to the podcast and you hear a chunk of Jesse or a chunk of Bob, that means that there was some editing in between because we'll hear it and we'll think, wait a minute, that's an awful lot of me or that's an awful lot of you. What happened? The guys who are doing the editing, I mean, they know what is going to be the crisp. You guys know. You do it all the time, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a really solid program because sometimes you get people who are very, very chatty, like me, and you got to edit them down. You got to figure out what's going to be the cleanest, best program. So that's pretty much part of it, too. There's not a whole lot more behind the scenes than that.
Well, what are some of the highlights, some of the things that have happened in your life as a listener to Odyssey because of your work as hosting the podcast?
I guess as a dad now, because I've got two teenagers, they've kind of grown up with Odyssey. My son still enjoys listening to Odyssey at bedtime. And so for us as a family, I think it's been really healthy to be close enough to it, to be able to involve them and to be able to, to talk through episodes and the themes and the values that come through. It's one thing to be just, to work on Odyssey and to know that you're doing that for other people's kids. But when you see the impact of that in your own children's lives, I think that's really special. So yes, as a fan, I have a great affection and appreciation for what Odyssey can do to disciple kids. And once we start talking about the Odyssey Adventure Club, I think we'll see that they've taken some steps that are going to take the discipling aspect in great new directions.
Can you give us an inside look at some of the characters that you've voiced on Odyssey? This is one of those things that the fans always want to know, and I do too, actually.
Yeah.
So love to hear that.
Yeah, it's funny because some of the questions you're asking me, we just recorded a podcast with Brock, who was the former Odyssey Adventure Club producer. And so Brock and I actually were on the hot seat being interviewed by Dave and Jesse, and that's going to be showing up soon. But so some of these questions, when fans get a chance to hear that podcast, they'll hear similar questions. So excellent questions, by the way. I love talking about the voices because they're so much fun. I mean, when I worked with Plugged In for 22 years at Focus, there was you know, as you're monitoring the entertainment culture, which is what we did there, that was the purpose, there's a lot of heaviness that you deal with. So for me, to be able to disappear into the studio, even if it's only to record a stray line for Odyssey, is a great oasis. And so I always found Odyssey to be kind of that little fun distraction from some of the heavier things I had to do in my ministry. But the ones, I guess the first opportunity, again, I mentioned Mark Drury. Mark had called me down, I guess this might have been 92 or 93, because they record all the voices, as you know, in California. But sometimes when they'll have these little stray lines, the voices of the main characters, the voices they choose to do for a bailiff or a waiter or somebody like that might just sound a little bit too much like the character that they're voicing. So they'll have somebody on staff come down and say, hey, why don't you, you know, give us a line or two. And for Mark, the first one I got to do was actually Commander Shulman in Aloha Oi Part 3. And that was my first introduction to Odyssey at any level. And when I went down, and you remember, you guys know that episode pretty well.
Oh, sure. Classic.
Yeah. So there you have the Rathbones and the Barclays. They're sinking in the little boat, and sure enough, the cutter ship comes along, and in answer to their prayer, picks them up. And I was the commander of the cutter ship. That was the first chance I got to do that, and I really caught the bug. I guess I did all right because they asked me to come down for a couple other things too, which was fun. But not too many times do I have characters with names. You know, they don't seem to come back, guys. I'm not sure why. My characters disappear after one. I'll tell you about one other one, and this will be kind of like a Where's Waldo deal. There's one. I have a part in Plan B that I'm pretty proud of because when I played it back for my wife, she couldn't figure out which voice was mine. Which. You know, a lot of times when you're doing a podcast and I'll go back and listen now and I'll think they had no idea I was going to end up doing a podcast because I just used my own voice. You know, I sound too much like myself. But there was this one that I decided to kind of play up a little bit. And when you fool your own wife, that's pretty good. So if anyone's going back and listening to Plan B, you see if you can find me in there.
Very cool. Well, let's go ahead and transition into the OAC. We've had a lot of questions over the last few months from listeners to Audio Theater Central, and we've had some questions of our own, and we just thought, what a better way than to get it straight from the source and see if we can get all of these answers in one place. So, first of all, can you just go over the main benefits and the features of the OAC as it stands today?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you kind of the vision. And that way we can use that as a means of jumping into some of the actual content on the site. The goal is that Odyssey fans will get an opportunity to engage more deeply with three things. One is Odyssey content, because there is a universe of it, as you know. And another is their relationship with the Lord. We want to disciple people, and particularly younger kids who are able to maybe learn lessons and learn things about the gospel through the Odyssey dramas, that just takes their own spiritual walk to a different place. And then finally, to get them to engage even more deeply with each other. So my goal is that if we can do a good job with the content, with the adventures and with the devotions and all the different things that we're posting on the site, that, because of what the nature of it, will help them to engage with the Lord more. So that's a really great combination. Mm-hmm. And then we, of course, have the chat areas where the message boards where they can talk with each other. In fact, right now I've noticed that there are a lot of fans talking with the Perilous Pen on the chat board. And the Perilous Pen is this mysterious character in Album 58. So anybody who's been following that and is on the Odyssey Adventure Club, I've been monitoring it. It's on Adventure Number 4, the Drake the Cosmic Copper episode. They're actually having some interesting dialogue online. So I love to see that as the producer. That's really cool. So once people get into the site, they're going to discover that we do have daily devotions. Each one is based on an Odyssey episode, and it goes chronologically. So eventually we're going to have over 750 devotions built on the episodes themselves, which is neat. Of course, a big draw is the complete library of all Odyssey episodes, including lost episodes, some that have been taken out of circulation for one reason or another. They're all there and can be streamed on demand 24/7. If you want to listen to an episode from a CD that maybe you did not pick up for your library, it's there. And guys, here's a cool thing. There, for families with younger children who are just discovering Odyssey and maybe don't have a CD library yet, they can have it all right there at their fingertips. It's kind of like, you know, kind of like the Odyssey equivalent of Netflix. You know, you can go on there and get not just the audio, but the animated videos are there and will continue to be posted throughout the fall. So just a lot of neat stuff that it's kind of one-stop shopping for Odyssey.
Sure.
Ro, one of our listeners, wants to know, the club is USA only. Any word if or when it will be expanded to other countries?
It will be, and the question is just a matter of when. I am waiting for word as we speak to get some idea of when we're going to flip the switch and make it available internationally. You know, you'd think it would be easy to do that. It's got a lot of issues related to just the international connections and how membership fees are collected and taxes and all kinds of strange things that you and I would think, That's Satan getting in the way, you know, because it should be an easy thing. But yeah, we're excited about that. Canada, and not just Canada, but Australia, basically anywhere around the world, people will be able to have the access to the club. And I'm hoping that will be in a matter of months and not longer than that.
So is it going to be all at once, or are we talking like Canada and then maybe the UK? And then, you know, is it going to be staggered, or... is there going to be a rollout of every country at once?
No, think of it like a light switch. Basically, you have your two switches on the plate. You've got one that's United States, and one that is the rest of the world. So once the one is flipped on. We've been doing the U.S. since January, but once we go ahead and flip the other switch, everybody around the world will have access to it. Now, the one challenge, of course, we have is that Clubhouse Magazine will not be part of the international membership. That's something that is cost prohibitive for us to do across borders. So it would just be access to the site. But yeah, they will get a chance to be members.
What about a PDF copy of the Clubhouse Magazine for everybody else?
I'll have to talk to Jesse about that. You never know.
As a member myself, I can tell. I can tell everybody that just the audio content alone is probably worth the fee that's being charged monthly. We listen to it all the time, since there's a few episodes here and there that somehow dropped out of our collection over the years, so we really enjoy it. We have another question here from Austin.
Sure.
And he wants to know if there's an Android version of the app that's coming, that's, you know, kind of slated for release.
Yeah, that's been a source of great discussion, the challenge that we're running into is that as much as the Odyssey team would love to get an Android app and have argued for the need for it, think of it as a line at a deli counter where everybody takes a number and has to wait for their turn to order. And unfortunately, our opportunity to get an Android is not, you know, our number is pretty well down the list. And the reason that we're having a hard time with that is because I guess there are enough analytics out there that will tell people how many users at witsend.org are Android users versus other devices. And apparently, even though we keep hearing this request and believe it's something worth doing, the numbers don't quite support the ability to kind of push it ahead in the line. Does that make sense?
Oh, as an Apple user, it makes complete sense to me and Roy. We're sorry. We really and genuinely feel sorry for JD. But,
yeah.
Well, it's too bad, I guess.
I don't need your pity. I just need an Android app.
So we want to see it happen, JD. We do. And the question is, you know, do we have to go in some unconventional way? I'll tell you what you can do is if you know somebody out there who's a huge Odyssey fan and is in a position to create an Android app really inexpensively just because they love us so much, give me a call. We'll talk.
Okay. I've got somebody in mind right now, so I'll be in touch.
Very good. Very good.
What is the renewal date of a club subscription? First month or date of sign up?
That'd be date of sign up. So if you happen to sign up on July 20th, then it would be the 20th of August when that would roll around again. So yeah, that's exactly 1 month from when you sign up.
So I heard there you're allowed to have 5 users per account. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So how many devices can you have amongst those 5 users? Because, you know, everybody has a phone and a tablet and you got your computer. Or how does that work?
Well, that's the beauty of it is we it's unlimited, really. Those 5 users can use it across platforms. So, you know, obviously we would like guys for people to be responsible about it, that they would keep it within the family, that it's, you know, that they realize that just like, you know, whether it's music sharing or anything else, you need to make sure that the bills are getting paid. And so we would encourage people to let their friends and let them know that, you know, there are opportunities to sign up. And we try to make it accessible in the sense that this summer we've got the $5 introductory promotion for that first month. I know a lot of people have taken advantage of that. But you know, if you've got the whole youth group, you know, using 1Password, obviously that's not going to help the club, and it's not going to keep Odyssey. I mean, something that a lot of people don't realize about the club is that we created it in response to a changing financial landscape. It now costs more than double what it used to cost to create any given Odyssey episode. And actually the revenue that we've gotten and continue to get from CD sales, even digital downloads, is lower than what we used to get before. And so in order to keep Odyssey around, we needed to figure out what kind of model will allow us to give more to the fans and also have a regular revenue stream that we can count on, that we can know kind of month to month, rather than just kind of at the end when we release an album, praying that somehow or another enough digital downloads get purchased to help pay for it. Again, peeling back the curtain to give people a better understanding of the need for the club and the fact that we just want to thank everybody. You guys who are members, you're doing the heavy lifting right now. You know, this is, it's tough, but we want to do everything we can to make the value there, to give you not only the archive of episodes, but also to give you some great adventures and documentary videos and just all the different kinds of things that you're finding on the site.
Yeah, if I could just comment, there's something that I have been noticing and feel a little passionate about, and that's kind of, you know, you get what you pay for, and nothing that is quote unquote free is truly free. So, you know, if you are sharing your, you know, your login and things like that, you have to realize that if you're giving things away that should be costing folks money, eventually the content that you're getting is going to disappear. If all books were free, there wouldn't be any good books out there because nobody could make any money writing books. Or, you know, the same applies to music or anything else. So I'd kind of like to throw in my 2 cents and say that, you know, hey, just it's $15 a month, and if you want to get the content, just pay for it, and you'll get what you pay for.
And guys, I would love to see, and I don't have any kind of timetable for this, but my vision for the club, we want it to be as inclusive as possible. We want as many people to be able to be part of it as possible. Obviously, there are some people out there, and frankly, before I, you know, took over, my family was part of that. You know, we could not have afforded to pay $15 a month. I was between positions at Focus. Some people don't realize that my position at Plugged In was eliminated in September. And Brock's announcement of his leaving and my coming on, there was a gap there. Now, you wouldn't know it because I continued to do the podcast with them, but when you're unemployed, you know, that's a chunk of change that you may or may not be able to afford. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that. I understand what that's like, and there are probably a lot of kids in families that are really, things are tight, and they just can't be part of it. I want to make it as accessible to people as humanly possible. So as you can understand, the fewer people in the club, in order to pay the same bills, it costs a little bit more. But I would love to think that down the road, as we get more and more members signed up, that we will actually be able to drop the price a little. It's kind of like when you help people move, you know? Have you ever kind of helped somebody move? You get in the moving truck, and you might have 3 people show up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. But then maybe by 9 or 10 o'clock, you've got, you know, 8 or 10 people, and it makes it easier for everybody.
Sure.
That's kind of what I'd like to see happen here, is that we would be able to get those bills paid by spreading it out over more people and having each burden of the club membership be a little bit less. And so that is my vision for it. I can't say that we have any kind of a timetable for it, but boy, I'd sure love to see that happen.
So what is the target age for the club? I'm assuming it's the same as the target age for the show itself, but can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, think of it as a bullseye with the circles kind of stretching out. The middle of the target would be 8 to 12-year-olds, the same as Clubhouse Magazine, because Clubhouse Magazine for U.S. members is part of the membership. You get your 12 issues a year. So the 8 to 12-year-old, that core Odyssey fan base is kind of the center of what we're shooting at. But we also realize that there are going to be some younger siblings and families. There are going to be some older siblings. There are going to be guys like us who've been fans for years and as adults, and then we want to continue to be part of it. So it really is, we try to be as inclusive as possible there, but we understand that the centerpiece of it would be about 8 to 12.
So is there plans to add anything that would appeal more to older folks? Like, I mean, all three of us here are adults. You have your web quests, and those kind of things are obviously for the children. What about the parents in the families or the older siblings who are involved? Is there anything that will be targeted towards them?
Well, I would like to say yes, and that we are actually moving in that direction a little bit now. And if you noticed, one of the things that I incorporated in July was a printable puzzle page. I would like to be able to do puzzles that kind of address different age groups. So there might be some that would skew a little bit younger. There might be others. If you did the crossword puzzle, you might have been challenged yourself a little bit there. You might have had to go back and listen to that episode a second time to pick up some of those answers. So we want to make sure that it is engaging for as many people as possible. That the things we do for parents and kids to work on together, that there's that element of family. But yes, there are some things that you and I would be able to pick it up and say, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, maybe that'd be something that I can enjoy as well. The more members we have, the more resources we have to stretch out. And I think the bigger that bullseye can become, you know, that target can expand. And I would really love it if someday we could have, I'd even thought about, you know, multiple puzzles where maybe you have the Camillo level puzzles for the younger ones, and you've got Eugene level puzzles for guys like us. You know,
cool. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah,
sure.
So
definitely.
It's just a matter of who's going to create that. What kind of resources do we have? Right now, we are a skeleton crew. I mean, the staff of the Adventure Club is one guy, and you're talking to him. So it is quite a daunting task to be. I mean, I edit all the devotions. I create the puzzles. I do the IT stuff on our end, you know, in terms of managing the site. I'm in all the marketing meetings and the management stuff, and working on developing the alliances with the various ministries that we connect with. So all of those things really are handled by one guy. And boy, if I could get a little help, I would love to expand in a lot of different directions.
Makes perfect sense.
Definitely. Are there any plans to release any of the club exclusive episodes out to the public? Carlton and Will are asking this question.
Not in the traditional sense. I mean, when we talk about them being exclusive for club members, we really mean that. We don't intend to create albums or anything like that of the specific episodes designed for the club. Now, having said that, you may know that when we partnered with Compassion International, we had a two-part episode with them, and I think on their site we allowed them to stream part one because it served the purpose of helping to promote the club. Obviously, if their constituents were familiar with part one, they might be inclined to want to check out part two and learn more about the club. So that was more of a marketing decision, but that's the rare exception. When we say 12 exclusive episodes, we really do mean that, and we're excited about boy, the episode, I don't know if you enjoyed Like a Good Neighbor as much as I did. That was a lot of fun. We've got a couple other very fun episodes, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't spill the beans, but what do you think? Should I?
Feel free. Oh, yeah. Feel free.
All right. I'm going to tell you about a couple great, fun episodes. The Alliance episodes are wonderful, too. Of course, we find great ministries who have wonderful God stories that we end up creating Odyssey episodes connected to. So we had Christian Veterinary Mission back at the beginning of the year. We had Compassion International later this year. We're going to be working with Operation Christmas Child, and we're going to be working with an organization called the Dropbox. But we've also got some episodes that are your typical Odyssey fun one-offs that don't have any particular tie, you know? And we've got a couple real fun ones coming up the next 2 months. One is called The Lone Lawman, and it is based on a radio. And kids' radio is always so wacky and off the wall anyway. But here you go. It's kind of a Lone Ranger send-up that is a blast, and that's for August. And then in September, we've got a Jay Smouse episode that you will not want to miss. It really is a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Can I just... Just talk all over me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's just normal, everyday work here at the podcast.
I just have to say, we absolutely love Jay Smouse. It's one of the best things that has happened to Odyssey since the relaunch. We've said this on the show before, but fantastic character.
Well, Whit Hertford is just a talented young actor, and it's a joy to work with, too. I look forward. Actually, I'm going to be in Burbank in August because we've got some sessions for next year's Odyssey Club, the Adventure Club episodes. We're going to be recording a number of them in early August. So I'm looking forward to seeing Whit and just getting a chance to see him do Jay a little bit more. He's a blast. He really is a great guy.
Trenton said in the March OAC newsletter, they announced the OAC blog with which we would give important feedback on the new Imagination Station book, but it never came out.
Yeah, and of course part of that was that in March, early April is when Brock found out that he was going to be leaving to go to Compassion International. And so some of the things that we were hoping to accomplish that in the short term turned out that with the transition and some of the other things that came along, we realized, you know, we just can't do everything and do it well. So we've decided that even though they have not updated the site just yet to remove the mention of the blog, we've got so many things, guys, on witsend.org, including more opportunities for feedback like that, that I know Nathan Hubler is committed to kind of beefing that up. So instead of adding blog to the Adventure Club now, we hope to do that down the road. But that many of the things that we would have been doing specifically for members of the club, I think we will be featuring there on witsend.org. So the information will still be getting out. It's just a matter of where it will be. It will not be a members-only thing for now. It looks like it's going to continue to be accessible to everybody, which is kind of cool.
Very cool. Well, Bob, I really appreciate you taking this time to chat with us. I think this is a pretty exhaustive and comprehensive look at what the OAC has to offer and what might be coming in the future. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate it very much, guys. You know, the fans, they're the reason we do this. Obviously, we do this as a ministry. We're here to honor the Lord, but we're here to do it to just thank them for their commitment. And so particularly for those who are in a position right now to support us and to keep Odyssey going by helping us to have that monthly revenue that tells us that we know we can confidently produce more episodes, not just member club episodes, but the ones that we hear on the radio as well. The members are doing a great deal to support all of that, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, it's been our pleasure.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, as you know, last episode number 50, we had quite a big group of things to hand out to all of you. So we just want to say congratulations to all of the winners. First off, thank you very much to all of our partners, the Creation Adventure family, the Brinkman Adventures, Creation Works, who supplied all of these wonderful prizes. Thank you very, very much. And the Creation Adventure family ended up upping how many copies they were going to give out. So, actually, guys, everybody who entered won something.
How about that?
Nice.
Look, you probably didn't even know that, but you won something. How about that?
So, the Creation Adventure family offered up the episode For the Love of Money, the first installment of their series of the Detective Rick Wraith adventures. And we had Samuel, Luke, Sea Guy, Will, and somebody who didn't give their name and just signed in with YP6.
Oh. Wow.
YP6?
I don't know. And so all of these guys,
win a copy of Rick Wraith For the Love of Money.
Congratulations, you guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. Woo-hoo.
Where's our audience clapping noises? Yeah. Yay!
Exactly.
So we will be notifying all of the winners via email. And so congratulations.
Yes. And then the Brinkman Adventures. We have one winner who got all 12 episodes from season 2 completely free, no purchase necessary, as I mentioned at the start of this contest. And Max T is our big winner for the Brinkman Adventures season 2.
Congratulations.
All right.
All right. Max T, winner. All right. And then we have from Creation Works, The Journey to Novarupta. And our winner is Christopher.
All right, Christopher, all very right. active blog member. We recognize that guy's name.
Yeah, we do. Congratulations, Christopher, for your win on The Journey to Novarupta.
And lastly, I offered up the autographed poster, the official, I guess, collector's item from official Get in the Show finale up in Colorado Springs. It has a 25-year timeline of Odyssey across the whole poster, and it just has major events from the very beginning in 1987 all the way up until that time in 2012. So it's got some interesting tidbits about Odyssey, pictures of a lot of the crew members, and then most of all, it's autographed by three of the actors, Katie Lee, who plays, of course, Connie Kendall, Andre Stoica, who plays Wit, and Zach Callison, who did play Matthew Parker. So that goes out to Richard G.
All
so
right.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to Richard.
Well, we've still got some more business to take care of, guys. Let's jump into some feedback.
All right.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got to email this.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
It is our mail time.
All right. Our feedback segment. We have quite a few letters here.
Yeah,
envelopes of mail.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Electronic envelopes.
That's right.
Holding electronic mail.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you to Richard, Samuel, Luke, C-Guy, Christopher, Will, and Max. Congratulated us on our 50 episodes. So thank you very much, guys.
Yeah. Appreciate your listenership.
Yes, exactly. Can't believe it's been, 2 years and 3 months now.
September's 3 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Talking all about family-friendly audio dramas and reviewing them. And one in particular, people are wondering, people like Jeremy and Michael and Luke, are we ever going to discuss the Red Rock Mysteries?
Yeah, so I think we're going to have to with that kind of an outcry.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's obviously something that everybody wants.
Yeah.
So we'll give the people what they want.
I think that's safe to do most of the time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. Sometimes it's a little scary, but in this case, I think that you can look for that in a future podcast.
Definitely.
This email is from Will L. And this is feedback again for episode number 50. He says, hi, Fabulous 3.
Wow. Right, yeah,
I like that.
Yes, the Fab 3.
Fab 3.
Congratulations on 50 episodes. I've been listening since episode 1. Hey, that's always good to hear. Mm-hmm. And it's really been enlightening.
Wow.
It was really fun to get to hear those highlights from interviews. Good times. Andrew made an error. Hey, I do that all the time. When talking about album titles, I just checked AIO Wiki for the exact number, and there are 4 albums besides album 53 and 58 in which the album title is also an episode title.
Oh.
They are album 3, Heroes, which I have a note for that one. Just album 3 was not called Heroes always. When they refreshed it, it was called Heroes, but back in the day, it was called something different. So,
okay.
I'll give you that currently, but that did not used to be true.
After the show, I went looking for this myself. I was like, I wonder about that. Yes. You really got me started thinking.
Exactly. And album 27, this one is definitely spot on. These next two.
Yeah.
The Search for Wit, album 28, Welcome Home, and album 42, No Way Out.
Sure enough.
Totally true. Nailed it. Keeping us honest here at Audio Theater Central.
Exactly. But let me say that 53 and 58 still have a standout because every single album or episode title is the same as the album title.
Right.
So there's a difference still between this one and the others.
Basically, like the whole album is titled one thing and all the episodes are titled that same thing. And these ones, the album is titled
and then we have one episode.
Right. I think he's right, though. We mentioned that there was...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's right.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. But there's definitely a difference.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, also, wow, this guy's just knocking the Fab 3. Also, you guys made it sound as if Gary Locke was a new artist they hired after the relaunch, which I guess we did. I guess.
Yeah, when I read this, I was like, you know what? We did.
Yeah.
It did sound like that.
That's very true. In fact, Gary Locke has been doing the artwork for AIO since album 36 in 2001. He just reimagined the artwork with the relaunch, which is kind of where we were going with what we said.
Yeah.
My impression was that the AIO team actually tells him what they want him to draw, and he draws it for them. But I could be wrong on that. However, I do know that he switched from physically painting his artwork to drawing it digitally around the same time as the relaunch. So the artwork does look significantly cleaner.
Hmm.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Good. So I did not know that little tidbit there. So that's cool.
I didn't either.
But yeah, and I don't think we meant to come across like that. I think we were just trying to stress that there was also this change in the artwork at the same time as all these other changes that was going on.
Mm-hmm. I think we should have said change in artwork. Or I think we did say the new artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I may have been the culprit on this one again, too. Saying something about, the new artist or, I don't know, something. Who knows?
Well, I could take the blame. Roy could take the blame.
Yeah. It was my fault. I'm sorry.
We can share it equally. The Fab 3, one-third of the blame to all.
Sounds good. Well, we want to thank you for taking time to listen to this episode today. I hope that you've got all your questions about the OAC answered. Thanks to Bob for joining us today. Fantastic time chatting with him. Also, I want to say thank you to all of the people who have recently joined the ATC Insiders. It's been great seeing these new folks joining, and it's great because you get to be the first to know about all the cool stuff that we're up to, so that's what that's all about. There's a button on the website that says Join ATC Insiders, completely free, so do that.
And you never know what kind of benefits you may in the future obtain with becoming an ATC Insider now.
Precisely.
You never know what we have up our proverbial sleeves.
That's right.
Exactly. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, audiotheatercentral.com/contact, or just click the contact button at the top of the page. Show notes are at audiotheatercentral.com/51. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com.
So, I was driving along in my car the other day, and this joke just came out of nowhere, hit me. And I told it to the guy. I told it to you guys before, and you guys said it came from a Laffy Taffy rapper, which it might have, and just came all back in like an audio drama form, like Odyssey, like.
Yes. You know.
But so it's this: what will John Campbell? We'll just do this. We'll just stay in this.
There you go.
We'll
there you go.
Like this. So John Campbell is our amazing composer for everything we ever listened to.
Yeah.
Right? What will John Campbell do after he's dead?
Kind of morbid, Roy.
It is, but it's funny. Well, it will be funny once we get the punchline. What will he do?
He will decompose.
Oh,
goodness. Okay. No. Speaking of dying things, a father was walking along with his son on the beach, and they see this seagull lying there on the ground, and it lay dead in the sand. And the little boy looked up at his father and said, "Daddy, what happened to him?" And dad said, "He died and went to heaven, son." And little boy thinks about this for a little bit. He looks back up at his dad and says, "Did heaven throw him back down?"
And what do you say to that?
Yeah.